You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, January 15th. You know what that means? We've got Jenna Harner back on the show talking some football. And we know what you all want to talk about. Randy Feekner's gone. Everyone's been waiting for it. You got what you wanted. We're going to talk about the impact of that as well as the other assistants who have left. On the first segment, we're going to focus on what that might mean for Ben Roethlisberger, of course, because that could mean serious changes to the offense. It will mean serious changes to the offense and all the merits and problems with that. Then we'll dive into some stuff with Juju because it became another thing where Juju was getting talked about on the Pat McAfee show. We'll get into all that stuff. We'll get into all that stuff in the second segment. And then finally, we will do our picks for the divisional round of the playoffs, see if Jenna can catch up to me in the picks standings. All that and more right here on today's show. Let's get into it. All right, everybody. It's Friday here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. And today, of course, we have, as usual, Jenna Harner from Channel 11, WPXI, back on the show. Jenna, so great to have you back. How you been?
So great to be back. It feels very, very weird to me that we're not entirely talking about the next opponent for the Steelers. It's like, wait, what now? And I'm a big hockey fan. So for me, I'm very excited that it's pain that the Steelers fans are feeling isn't lasting too long because of hockey. But at the same time, it's strange. It really is weird.
It is weird. But hey, like you said, Pittsburgh gets to roll in some hockey. There's still some college basketball to root for there. But we got to talk about the big news of the day because Mike Tomlin said on Wednesday when he spoke to the media, Jenna, that change was coming. And a lot of people were like, yeah, you say that every year. But then Thursday, change came. The big announcement, of course, that all Steelers fans, I saw Twitter explode with of dancing memes and all sorts of other things, was that Randy Feekner is being let go. Now I want to correct everyone. Nobody got fired. It is a matter of Jenna's reacting the way I react.
Say, that was my biggest thing because everyone's tweeting, oh, he's been fired. He was not fired. They're not renewing his contract. Right. They're basically mutually parting ways in that sense. And it's just, that got to me a little bit on Thursday, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it's just like come on, guys. But at the same time, I understand because people had been very frustrated with the offense, even though it finished ranked 12th in the NFL this year. And that's been something people have been upset about, play calls and all sorts of things all year long. Along with him, Sean Serrett, the team's offensive line coach that followed Mike Munchak. That was his second year with the team. His contract wasn't renewed. And Tom Bradley, the defensive backs coach, one of the defensive backs coaches, him and Terrell Austin were the two. Austin still around right now. And rumors have it that the team is working to renew a contract with Keith Butler at defensive coordinator. That'd be more of a year-to-year deal. We got that from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. James Daniel, the team's tight end coach, retired on his own, so he won't be back, but he's been with the team since like 2004. Jenna, you hear all these changes. What do you think the message is for the Steelers as far as like, hey, you know, Mike Tomlin said, we got to change to get better next year. What do you think this says?
Honestly, it points them in that direction. I mean, you look at where there were issues. I know there was a lot of conversation. Obviously, I feel like we've talked about it a ton with the play calling, with, you know, is Ben running the offense? Is Randy running the offense? What are the calls that he's making? Are some of the decisions to, you know, run on this play, to throw on this play, on this down versus this down? Like, I feel like that was really scrutinized. So that one, I think, was interesting. But then you look at the offensive line and where were their big struggles this season? The run game and the offensive line. So I think that is showing that Mike Tomlin said, hey, we're going to make changes. Here's the changes we're going to make. I am very, very, very intrigued though, to see how this plays for Ben in terms of his decision to retire or not, because Feekner is his guy. So is this going to be, I think there's everyone, I don't know, everyone wants to speculate about everything. Everyone's been saying, oh, well, Matt Canada, maybe they'll move into the position, except Canada is chatting with some other teams. And if that was the case, would they have signed him? And would they have already told him, hey, you're the guy? And then you have obviously the fact that it's like, okay, are they going to bring in a new guy? And is Ben going to just be here for another year? Is this kind of saying to Ben, retire? There's so many question marks that this brings, but I think it's also a lot of good questions. Like, hey, what is this offense going to look like next year and for years to come?
That's the thing. I've been saying it all week. Whatever decision they make on offense, they need to recommit to the run game. And the conversation needs to be with Ben is like, hey, the transition has to begin now because there's still talent on this team and they don't want to just throw that talent away. So they want to start building for that. But if Ben's going to be part of that new process, he has to agree to be part of that new process, which means you don't get everything you want anymore. We're going to probably bring in an offensive coordinator that might have you taking the ball from under center, that might have you doing things that you're not as comfortable with, because you need to get comfortable with the way this offense is going to have to run for the future. But Jenna, you're exactly right. You know, Fichtner being gone, that means offensive coordinator switching. And Ben in his last year, maybe two. I mean, that's usually something that's taboo for a lot of quarterbacks in their old age, especially franchise quarterbacks that have been with a team for 15, 16 years. So it's definitely a huge question as far as how Ben sees this progress going. Will it be Canada? Will it be someone else? I really like the idea of Jim Caldwell because he's been a quarterback whisperer in his time. But you know, it's going to be an interesting question to see where does he go from this and what kind of command will he continue to have on the offense. And for Fichtner, I mean, my first game ever covering the Steelers at, you know, on site was in Cleveland in 2017. And the first thing I see as I get through the first, you know, security barriers and I'm going under the stadium, I'm in the hallway. First thing I see is Ben throwing a football and warming up in the hallway. And on the other end is Randy Fichtner and they're just warming up together. And it was your face. That's all I was like, it was an odd thing to see, but you're like, okay, that's happening. But that's these guys were boys. And I think that with whatever you need to do in this new offense, you need to go back to some traditional things of football that Steelers fans have wondered, why don't we see these things? Why don't we see this thing? The answer is you're not seeing certain things because Ben don't want them in there, because Randy Fichtner was his guy. He wanted him in there. Fichtner was going to do things that he knew Ben appreciated and liked, and they tried to work around it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when eventually you realize that your offense isn't balanced enough and you're having problems and you need to change, you got to get a new person. So whoever that will be very interesting to see, along with offensive line coach and other things that might happen. I also don't think the Steelers might be done announcing changes. There might be some more on the way. But all that being considered, Jenna, I look at this. The emphasis for this offense, the coaching has been addressed, but there's still personnel things that have to be addressed.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think, again, that all kind of leads back to Ben. What's going to happen with Ben? How is this offense going to work? And then I think there's been so many talk, obviously, on all the free agents that are going to be up and available. And is, you know, James Conner going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he the Steelers guy? Do they trust Benny Snell to be that guy if that's the case? And then obviously the questions about Juju. There are so many question marks. And then you look at the offensive line. I think it's funny because I saw something on Twitter. It was like, this team is way too many questions for a team that went 12-4 this season. Yeah. And it's insane to think about. But I mean, the reality of it is, and I think this kind of ties back a little bit to who they bring in as an offensive coordinator, is you look at the teams that are still left and you look at the creativity. I point to the Bills only because I've covered them, but looking what Brian Daboll does for that offense, the creativity, the way that they have it structured, obviously around Josh Allen, but what that team does, they don't have an entirety of a run game, and look at how successful they've been this season. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to say you need those young guys in that sense, but you need types of coaches that are going to think in that way. I think Fichtner had one way of thinking compared to how a lot of the younger up and coming type offensive coordinators have of thinking. I think it's just two different ways. I do think that they have to go back to some of the basics, but I think they also need that creativity. But again, will you get that with Ben is a huge question.
Right. And another thing is because a lot of those young offensive coordinators, you're talking about Josh Allen, you're talking about, you know, Lamar Jackson, you're talking about whether they all have in common, they run with the ball. Ben can't run with the ball anymore. Maybe young, I mean, young Ben was even like whenever he ran as young Ben, you thought he was screaming the whole time, like, ah, I'm gonna give this face because you knew he was giving everything he got. But still, the thing is, he never made it look easy in his runs, and that was never his, but he could do it when he was younger, and that made him still a bigger threat. Now, he's much more limited in that respect, and that's where a lot of these young offensive coordinators, Miami, you got Tua Tagovailoa, you're working with his feet. Arizona, you got Kyler Murray, you're working with his feet. And with Josh Allen, he is the rushing offense for the Bills. I mean, the same thing goes for Lamar Jackson. I think you take Lamar Jackson away, J.K. Dobbins don't got nearly as much space to run. So that's part of the question is, I think the Steelers have to go back into an old school type of pro style offense where, you know, quarterbacks used to not run with the football. And when you ran the ball, you ran the ball, and you got to see how much you can work with that and see what investments can you make. And then maybe down the line, you get a quarterback like that, maybe in a year or two or three. But right now, if they're going to work with Ben, and like you said, the top of the tree of the decisions here is, can Ben stay? If Ben stays, different story, you know, that's the direction they go. If Ben doesn't stay, you start asking yourself a lot more questions. And there's still other questions you got to ask about Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro. I think DeCastro is fine. Pouncey, not as much. You know, Hayden Nelson, other guys that are getting paid big money this year. It's going to be interesting to see what they decide there. We've got other personnel decisions to talk about, especially a specific receiver that all of you talk about a lot out here. But before we do that, we got to talk to our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar is great for the health conscious person and helps someone lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat during the day. Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, but high protein and high fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Instead of when you're tired and hungry at work and you need a boost to get through the day, instead of going to the vending machine and getting those cupcakes, or those Pop-Tarts, or those potato chips, get something healthy like a Built Bar. It'll fill you up, taste great, and get you through the rest of your day with the energy that you need. And Built Bar comes in 18 amazing different flavors. Six of those new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. You can get all those flavors by going to their website right now at BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of WPXI Channel 11 in Pittsburgh. Jenna, everyone has always talked about all season long, Juju this, and, you know, there's people that don't like Juju for his antics, you know, and when I say antics, these are TikTok dances. These are videos on things. This isn't, you know, sexual harassment, you know, or, you know, DUIs or things like that. He's, you know, these are the very lighthearted things that people don't like about Juju. And that's fine. If you don't like him, you don't like him. You don't have to. But, you know, now that the time has come where he's reached the end of his rookie deal and the Steelers have a decision to make along with a long list of unrestricted free agents to say, what do we do with you? Because they're cap strong. And there's a lot of questions as far as, you know, in reinvesting in that offense. If you're going to get back to the ground game, can you afford to pay money to a receiver, especially when you got three behind him that are young and athletic and you've seen them do well? So all of that aside, this week an interesting dilemma appeared on the Pat McAfee show. And Pat McAfee, you know, I believe he's a native Pittsburgher. He's a Colts punter. He developed his own thing. He's done a great job with that. But on his show, he had a guy come on and give a report saying that Juju wants to leave Pittsburgh and go to a bigger market so that he can build his brand and, you know, build out his social media and whatever. And, you know, in response to that, Juju came out and said, well, sources say that's incorrect. Which was a really funny way to put it. And then, you know, Juju gets attacked for saying that. And then people attack him saying that. All these type of things happen. And Jenna, I'm seeing all this chaos. And I'm just like, why is this such a big deal right now? The question is, yes, he's going to be here, but why are people so angry either way?
It's one of those things that, like, people don't want him to stay, but then people don't want him to leave. It's like, you got to pick one here. you got to pick a side. It's just, it's such a funny dilemma to me. I think the microscope that Juju is under, it's so funny to me. And I get it, because he is controversial in the sense with the whole, I mean, the whole TikTok dancing. How many times during a press conference this year with Juju was it spent talking about the TikTok? Like, it made me laugh. It really did. You almost have to laugh about it. Like, he this year, in terms of seeing the role that he played, especially kind of down the stretch, you look at who he was that third down guy where Ben would, it would be third and seven, yep, third and six, and he would fight for those extra yards, and he seemed to always get those. I feel like we looked at that in the sense, and he always seemed to get that first down, move the sticks in that way. But it's just funny to me. I mean, you and I were talking before about the whole going to a bigger market thing. Most of the NFL markets are bigger than Pittsburgh. I don't know. I mean, you look at New England, LA,
New York,
Houston, like
Chicago. I mean, it just name most cities. The only cities that are probably smaller are maybe, you know, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Green Bay, you know, but again, that's maybe 10 teams in the league. Maybe.
Yeah. I want to go through the list and just kind of look, but yeah, I mean, it's just so funny to me because you know, at the end of the day, this is going to obviously come down to a decision between him and the Steelers. And we saw him after the game say, you know, I hope I'm a Steeler. We saw him and Ben have that conversation where he said he hopes he's here next year. We saw the picture he posted on his Instagram story on Wednesday, Tuesday, yeah, Sunday this week, where it was like a picture of him driving by the city and saying, you know, trust me, I don't want to leave. Like from what he says, and again, I only am taking that by that grain of salt because I'm not going to try to interpret what he means or what he doesn't mean. But from what he says, he still wants to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. So it is going to obviously come down to the negotiations to what he's going to get paid and stuff like that. He might stay, he might go. That might be the case. It's very funny to me, like how polarizing he is. Yeah. Because also everybody looks, what, he's 23? Mm-hmm. Is that right? He's 23 years old. He's, I don't want to say a kid, but he's, you know,
he's a kid.
Yeah, he's a very young adult in that sense. And everybody is just so like, oh, the social media. I think it's kind of the same response that like people say to Gronk. People said to like, I mean, it's so up and coming. That's what it is. This isn't what most football fans are used to. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just very funny to me. Like, this is how he's building his brand, because at the end of the day, he's also setting himself up for life after football. Because I think he realizes that it's not going to be the NFL for the rest of his life. Maybe that's just me. But and again, don't we tell athletes to do that anyway? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It might just be the new wave, and you know, that's what it is, but it's funny to me.
And what's even more funny to me is when you look at, now Jenna, you weren't here for these periods of times, but you know, I've been watching and following the Steelers for a long time. I've been covering them since 2016. You know, it used to be the guy that people would dig on and say, you're the problem with the team, was Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And then before that, you know, they would find different guys. But it's like Juju, when he came, he was the kid that everybody thought was cool. And he was just adorable. Like, you know, when his bike got stolen, the whole city was like, who stole Juju's bike? And then he scores the touchdown and does the bike, you know, locks up the bike on the sideline. I mean, this guy was doing everything, and he's never gotten in a lick of trouble. Mm-hmm. He's never, the most controversial thing you could say he ever said was the Browns is the Browns. Oh, and they're a good team. Like, you know, like
that's a whole other topic of debate.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. It's like these are the worst things you could point to. Why is he public enemy number one for anybody? I don't know. But whether he stays or goes isn't about his attitude. I mean, I think actually why I say it might be his attitude, because again, you see on the football field, the man's diving for loose balls. He's, you know, he's scraping to get third down conversions. He's trucking through people. And, you know, and Ben even said, you're a warrior, dude. Like, and Ben knows that. He knows who fights for him. And again, Juju, he don't come out and say, give me the ball and that kind of stuff. You know, I just, it's so bizarre to me that there's a push to get rid of him. But I do think that the tough thing about this is, and as much as I think the pride of the Steelers would love to have him back, because you saw after they beat the Colts and everyone who was making fun of Juju for his TikTok dance, what did the Steelers do? They all did the TikTok dance together in the locker room celebrating with him. And I think there's a sense that like, yo, this kid was never at fault for any of that stuff. He was never the reason why they were losing games. And they wanted to protect him. And now you have the decision, if you let him go, then that's how he goes out, is that people are making fun of his TikTok dances. And you're thinking that, but at the same time, you got to throw your pride away at some point and say, if you want to become this new team, this running football team, this team that's going to change the emphasis of how the offense is going. Can you afford to invest in paying a receiver who's probably would get big money on the market to stay here? And that I just think they can't do.
No, especially again, because you look at, and maybe this is just from my perspective, but you look at the guys they have behind him. You have Chase Claypool, you have Deontay, who when he catches the ball has a lot of success. They have James Washington, who everybody begged to use more, and we saw what good things happened when they used him. They will miss his presence, but I don't think it will be a crazy severe drop off compared to some of the other guys you might lose in different positions, that type of thing. Like, I think it would be a lot different if it was like a guy on defense or something to that extent. But you look at the guys that they have behind him and they should fare pretty well. You still have three very, very solid wide receivers.
Absolutely there. And of course, don't forget Kevin Colbert could probably draft someone in the seventh round and they'll be a first team all pro rookie. You know that, but anyways, we got to throw it to one more break. We come back, it's prediction time. We still look at the playoff games. Jenna and I are still picking until the Super Bowl. We're going to finish this out. Joe Berkey, thank you for keeping track of all that. But first, a word from betonline.ag. There's always something to bet on betonline.ag. With the NFL playoffs continuing, you can bet on any of the NFL divisional round matchups, whether it be Rams at Packers or Browns at Chiefs or the Ravens at the Bills or even the Buccaneers at the Saints. You can bet on all those matchups and even some of the prop bets that are in between them. You can also bet on things like where will Doug Peterson land as a coach moving forward. All those kind of odds you can get on at betonline.ag when you sign up today. Sign up today and get a free account for betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on, capitals, all one word, and you'll get your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget the promo code is LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, locked on, all one word and all capital letters to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner, WPXI in Pittsburgh, Channel 11. It's Friday, which means we do the picks. This is our first time in a long time. I mean, I guess ever. Well, because they technically had the bye week before. Anyways, you get the point. We're not picking the Steelers this week. So we're looking at four playoff games. Jenna, these are some interesting matchups here, and they should be in the divisional round, but you got a Rams team that's starting off the weekend on Saturday at 4:30 against the Packers. The Rams team I had counted out at one point, especially when they lost to the Jets. And then all of a sudden they get into the playoffs. They beat the Seahawks. Aaron Donald's still just destroying everything in his sight. They call him the Terminator. And now they get to play the Packers. And I like what the Rams are doing on defense, Jenna. I'm just not so sure it's enough to stop what Aaron Rodgers and they do really well.
That's the thing. This is one of those matchups I'm looking at the offenses, and I just think what Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams have been doing this season is so scary that I think Aaron Donald will get to Rodgers, but how much are you going to be able to get to him to slow that offense down? This is in Green Bay. I'm interested to see how LA does. There's all talk of, you know, it's not supposed to be crazy. I think it's going to be like maybe around 30 degrees, so nothing like frigid like we know that Lambeau can be this time of year, but this is an interesting game to me. I just, watching the Rams and the Seahawks play last week, I was like, does anybody really want to win this game?
Yeah. At one point, everyone was asking themselves that, because wasn't it the second, it was right after the Colts Bills game, and everyone was like, well, this is my nap game of the weekend.
It's like, we can take a nap now. Yeah. I mean, I see the Packers going to the Super Bowl this year. I just think that that offense is such a high powered offense. And I think that their defense has figured out a lot of the things that was plaguing them earlier this year. But you know, LA's defense, that is something that they rest their laurels on. And I think that's something that can give Rodgers and company a little bit of trouble. I still see the Packers winning this game, but I don't know. I'm intrigued to see this matchup play out, especially for the four quarters.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. We're both on the Packers here. Yep. I like you said, I don't trust the Rams offense. Even if the Rams defense can limit the Packers, I don't trust the Rams offense to do enough against the Packers defense to gain an advantage there. No. Your Saturday night game is going to be very interesting. Two of those quarterbacks that are extremely athletic, we talked about earlier, Lamar Jackson and his Ravens against J- Josh Allen and his Bills in Buffalo, Saturday Night Football. I thought the Ravens played very well against the Titans. I was surprised that the Colts gave the Bills as much of a run as they did. I thought the Colts would dig in the Bills a bit, but I thought the Bills would put them away earlier than they did. And now I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, at secondary with the Ravens, they're still athletic. They can still get after you. It's going to be really interesting to see. I thought Josh Allen played an amazing game against the Colts. If he plays like that again, Jenna, I'm not sure what the Ravens can do.
That's the thing. I think this is going to be how Josh Allen plays is going to dictate this game. And I think seeing what, obviously, go back to last year, go back to the Bills-Texans playoff game last year, and then the Bills-Colts game this year, it is night and day. And I think that you even heard Josh Allen after the game kind of say, like, I kind of needed that. Like, we needed to get the jitters out of our system in that sense. They needed that to get that playoff win off their backs. And, I mean, you look down the stretch of the regular season, what this team was able to do, how many points they were able to put up. Just when that offense gets going, they get going. And I think this is going to be probably my, other than the Saints and Bucks game, this is the game that I'm like circling. I'm like, this is going to be such a good game. I think it's just going to be a display of both quarterbacks. But again, if Josh Allen can stay hot and hold on to the ball, I think that they win this game, and I think they win by 7-10. I think this is going to be a really good game.
I'm right with you. I think they're going to win. It's going to be a one possession game. I think it's going to come down to Josh Allen being able to hit the receivers down the field and find the soft spots of the Ravens defense, because he has a cannon of an arm on top of the end. You're seeing receivers. I mean, Gabriel Davis, some of those toe taps that he pulled off on the sideline were just fantastic. Exactly. It's like, what are we doing here? And so now you have to worry about Stephon Diggs and that guy and Cole Beasley. It's a lot of problems to have to deal with. I think that the Ravens deserve a lot of commendments or a lot of acknowledgement for what they did to get where they've gotten, considering they lost Earl Thomas for the season and all the things they've had to adjust to with COVID. But I think the Bills are too strong of a team to lose at this point to the Ravens. Moving on to Sunday's game, Browns at Chiefs. Now the Browns, of course, they also lost to the Jets, but then beat the division winner of the AFC North. Of course, that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're heading into Kansas City. Kareem Hunt says they're ready, and he's especially ready because that's the team that let him go. Albeit, you know, they had their reasons. This is gonna be interesting for me, because I still look at this game, and we were just talking about this game and the turnovers and the problems that came with the Steelers losing to the Browns. I'm wondering, can the Browns display that kind of offensive dominance the way they did against the Steelers if the Chiefs don't hand them turnovers early in the game the way the Steelers did?
Yeah, I think that's the exact question. It's going to be, how can this offense produce, I don't want to say offense of their own, but, you know, produce those 70, 80, 90-yard drives, and can they sustain them? I think this game is going to be closer than people think, because I think just the way that the Browns won and the fact that they beat the Steelers, that they got their first playoff win in God knows how many years, they're kind of just riding high on that confidence. And I think that's going to play a big thing, knowing that Kansas City hasn't played. There might be a little bit of a rust, but at the end of the day, it is Patrick Mahomes. I see the Chiefs winning this game, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Browns kind of keep it close for at least a decent amount until Patrick Mahomes is kind of like, all right, let's go. I'm like, here we go. I'm going to lead this incredible, you know, 98-yard touchdown drive that we've seen him do for God knows how long. I think they'll force a turnover. Although I did see an interesting stat. Baker, in his last 10 games, has, including the postseason, has thrown just one interception. So impressive. I think but then again, how many times has he fumbled the last couple of games? So he's going to be the key in terms of how this game goes. If the Browns protect the ball, if he holds on to it, I think this stays a lot closer. But you see one or two turnovers from the Browns, and I think this can just kind of be one of those games that we see Casey open it up.
I think this could look a lot like that Titans-Chiefs game in the playoffs last year, where the Titans came out and maybe not, you know, a huge lead that the Titans get or the Browns get this time. But I think that the Browns keep it close early, and then eventually Pat Mahomes just starts ripping their secondary to shreds because they do not have the safeties to keep up with these receivers. So we're both in the same there. Let's see if we get any difference here. Final game, NFC South showdown. Buccaneers at Saints. The Saints swept the Bucs. It's always tough to beat a team three times, they say. But the Saints got Kamara back. They've got Michael Thomas back. Their defense is still playing at a high level. The Buccaneers almost lost to some guy named Tyler Heinicke last week. As much as I like some of the young talent on the Bucs and the fact that they got Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Devin White and all these other guys, I have to pick the Saints. They're at home. I think that the defense, even if they slow up Drew Brees and offense enough, I think the Saints defense is too much of a problem for the Bucs offense.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. We don't have any differences this week.
Again, this is like the second week in a row.
Darn it, I'm not going to catch up. But I do, I think you look at the offenses, I think the Saints have just been rolling so well. And I think that the fact that the game against the Washington football team was so close for the Bucs, who knows, maybe that was one of those wake up call games where it's like, hey, we shake this off, we come in. I mean, when Tom Brady and this offense can get hot, they mm-hmm. can get hot. We yep. saw that in the last couple of games of the season, the Detroit game, the whatever. Oh my God. I know. Scary.
Yeah.
But I think that obviously you're going against Detroit's defense versus going against New Orleans defense. And I think it's funny because everyone's like, oh, you know, they're playing New Orleans. Can the Bucs potentially get ready to play Green Bay if that's the case, blah, blah, blah. They know how AB and Tom Brady play in the cold, but it's like, okay, you can't look past this very strong Saints team. And I think this just, I think the Saints have a lot more going for them now. And I think they have a lot more leaning in their favor compared to the Bucs and their defense. And I mean, again, you Alvin Kamara is just, I just look at it and it's like, he is fantastic isn't even the word to begin to describe what he's able to do. And I think it's like, okay, good luck, Tampa Bay. Have fun playing against this guy and Michael Thomas and Drew Brees, who more likely than not is probably in his last season.
I mean, yeah, I saw a picture of this game where it was like a gray haired Tom Brady and an old man, Drew Brees, and like he had a walking cane. And I was like, that's exactly what's happening in this game. But it's two legends facing off. I'm going with the Saints because I think that Kamara in that group, they can still make plays. But, you know, Pittsburgh, I feel like you want at least the Saints to win, because if the Chiefs win and the Bucs win, that means Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are going to both be in the conference championship game. And what's crazy is, you know, and I said at the time, you had to get rid of AB after we went crazy. Le'Veon only left because he got money. But there was the image that was like they were losing because these guys were here and you couldn't win with these guys on your team because they would spontaneously combust your locker room. Yet here they are on two teams that are playing the week when the Steelers aren't playing. And again, I'm not saying you didn't have to get rid of AB, but – I said at the time, I was like, I don't know if it's that simple as far as get rid of them and they'll fade away into nothingness and the Steelers will be fine. All I'm saying is y'all better be rooting for at least the Saints this weekend. And on top of Antonio Brown, you not want to see Tom Brady in those conference championship game again.
No.
But that being said, Jenna, we had no differences this week. You got to try next week. If you don't try next week, it's over.
I know.
But Joe Berkey's keeping track of that. Thank you, Joe Berkey, in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. And thank you, Jenna, for coming on the show again. We appreciate your time as always. Please let people know they can follow you and find more of your work.
I'm so glad to be here as always, even if we're not talking a Steelers game, but hey, you know, lots of exciting matchups ahead. You can catch me on Twitter at Jenna Harner 11, Instagram at Jenna_Harner, pretty much on WPXI, you know, 6, 10, 11 every day, pretty much. We're doing a ton of stuff. We got a lot of really cool hockey stuff ahead. Obviously, the Bills-Ravens game is on WPXI, Channel 11, NBC, so definitely tune in to all the coverage we got for that. Not us specifically, but NBC in itself. Lots of hockey stuff ahead, too. So, definitely join us whenever you guys can.
Awesome. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Just go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask you to join the group, and I'll add you as soon as possible. And hey, subscribe to where I work, dkpittsburghsports.com, where we cover Steelers, Pirates, Penguins. Some of that Penguins coverage you can get as well on our website, as well as the University of Pittsburgh, because basketball is going on right now. And I'm glad I finally get to cover a game this Saturday. I cross my fingers as I say that. All right. That's our week. That's the show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back in your ears on Monday, recapping what happened on Sunday and getting you ready for the rest of your week. Until then, Steelers fans, hang in there. We'll see you next week.